you've never obeyed the Lord, this morning would be a great time to step out. You shall not walk in darkness, because I am the light of life. And he is. If you'll turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. The Bible reads this way: Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of every fruit of the tree of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes will be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. And she took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The Bible says that Eve saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was good to make one wise. Have you ever thought about the thought, the good that Satan does? There are some people in our world, believe it or not, who are Satan worshipers. Instead of worshiping God, they choose to worship Satan. And instead of choosing to do good, they choose to do evil. But in the day of Isaiah, the Bible says that there were those who called evil good. And I can tell you for sure tonight that the devil is one who calls evil good. He is the one that called evil good unto this woman named Eve. Why did she see that tree as one that would make her wise, and that it was good for food? She had sufficient food from every tree of the garden, but that one tree, God says, you shall not eat thereof, for in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Now, it's always amazed me how people can read the Bible and walk away from the teaching of God, and how people can read what the Word of God says about doing good, and the Bible says, For him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. But it's always alarmed me and amazed me at the same time that people can read the Bible and draw conclusions that are so far removed from what God intended for us to receive. Why, it's kind of like a little boy one time who went to school, and his name was Joseph, and the teacher asked him, she said, Joseph, why are you late this morning to school? And the little boy said, because of the sign down the road. And the teacher said, well, what does the sign have to do with you being late? And Joseph said, well, the sign said, school ahead, go slow. Well, believe it or not, there are people in our world who read the Bible, and seemingly the very thing that God condemns, they have chosen to believe that it is all right. It's still good. It's still worthy of emulation. But I know one thing, that the devil is a liar. For in the book of John, the 8th chapter and verse 44, the Bible says, and Jesus speaking here, he says, You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and he is the father of all lies. You know, the deceiver pretends to be very good. He pretends to be very holy and very righteous. Sometimes people look at the world and, they see all the religious groups that have mustered themselves together, and seemingly everybody believes that everybody is right in their own eyes. and seemingly these groups that have mustered themselves together, and seemingly everybody believes that everybody is right in their own eyes. And seemingly, you know, Christ said that there are false prophets who have gone out into the world. And I've often believed that if everybody is okay and it doesn't make any difference what you believe, then where are the false prophets? Where are those who are of their father, the devil? Well, I can tell you with great assurance tonight, anyone who disregards the will of God and teaches things that are contrary to the doctrine of Christ is of the devil. And John said that. He said, "He that goeth onward and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God." Now, I want you to read something tonight. I want you to turn your Bibles, if you brought them, to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13. The Bible says, and he's speaking here about the false prophets that are gone out into the world and even false apostles. And he talks about those who have been calling evil good. And he says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Our concept of Satan tonight is so far removed from really what the Scripture teaches in many, many cases. A lot of times the caricature that we have in our mind about Satan is, a character in a red suit with carrying a pitchfork and maybe having horns or what, maybe a long tail, whatever. But that's not the way the Bible projects Satan for us. But the Bible says that he transforms himself into an angel of light. He appears to be very righteous. He appears to be very holy. But within, he is corrupt and he is evil. Now, I can tell you for sure that if the devil were to approach you that way, or he were to approach you in a mean, sarcastic way, deceiving way, why, you'd run from him. But if he presents himself as someone who is very righteous and someone who is very holy and someone who is very loving, then perhaps maybe people would gravitate to him. That's why Eve turned to Satan. Why, she just couldn't believe that this creature who was more subtle than any beast of the field would lie unto her or deceive her. And she looked at that fruit herself and she saw that it was something that was good to be desired to make one wise. For the devil said that God knows that when you eat of that fruit, you will be as wise as gods. Now I want you to notice that. He doesn't say as wise as God, capital G, but as wise as gods, little g. And they're not very wise, folks. But notice what he says. He transforms himself into an angel of light. He says, "Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Quite often people ask me, they say, "Do you believe that Satan has his angels on this earth today?" I absolutely believe that. If the angels of God are ministering among us, and if they are alive and well, and I believe that they are, then I can tell you that the ministers of Satan are working tirelessly in our world. Do you believe that Satan has his angels on this earth today? I absolutely believe that. If the angels of God are ministering among us, and if they are alive and well, and I believe that they are, then I can tell you that the ministers of Satan are working tirelessly in our world to blind people to the truth of God and to lead those who have already come to God away from our Lord and our Master. Satan is a deceiver. He comes among the sons of God. The Bible says that Job, when he came to present his sons before God, that Satan came among them. Job chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. He came to Jesus to tempt him. In the book of Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3, after Christ had been baptized at the hands of John the Baptist, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And while he was in the wilderness, after about 40 days, when Christ is vulnerable, he's hungry, he's thirsty, the devil begins to make his attack against Christ. And he says, why don't you change these stones here into bread because you're hungry? And Jesus said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Almighty God. And then the devil again begins to tempt him. If one temptation doesn't work, he tries another. And you know what? He does that with us. If he can't get you in one way, he will try another way. He will go at a little bit different angle to work tirelessly again to draw you away from God. He told Jesus, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and he said, if you'll just fall down and worship me, all these kingdoms will be yours. And Jesus said, again, you should worship the Lord your God, and him only shalt thou serve. And then he took him to the pinnacle of the temple and he says, well, you know, if you really are the Christ, if you really are the Son of God, and your Father is watching over you, why don't you just cast yourself down off of this temple and God will send angels down to minister to you before you even hit your little toe against the ground. And Jesus said, yes, but you know what? The Bible also teaches and the Word of God says that it is not right to tempt the Lord your God. Do you know every time that the devil made a temptation or presented a temptation to Jesus, he would say, it is written. I'm going to tell you something. I've always thought that's a good policy to follow. To know the word well enough to deal with it in that way. As I mentioned this morning in the book of James 1, verse 14 and following, the Bible says that man is drawn away by the evil that is in the world. We know Satan does no good, but there are some things that Satan does that are worthy. Listen to me closely. There are some things Satan does that are worthy of our following. Now, you probably are thinking, what is he talking about? Well, listen closely to what I'm saying. Well, I would tell you, first of all, that Satan attends every worship service of the church. Did you know that? Is that worthy of following? I believe it is. The Bible in the book of Hebrews chapter 24 and 25 says that we're to motivate, to consider one another, to provoke unto love and good works. He says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It is important that we worship God, as I mentioned this morning. And you know what? When we cease to worship God, it is easy for us to drift away from God. And that is exactly and precisely what Satan wants. But you talk about something that is worthy of emulation. Satan attends every worship service of the church. He is here tonight. And don't look at the person sitting next to you. As I said this morning, you will not see God, but he is here. You will not see Satan, but Satan is among us. And just as he came among the sons of God, and just as he came in the presence of Job in Job 1 and verse 6, the Bible says that he comes among us. And wherever there is righteousness, there will be unrighteousness. And every time good is present, there will always be evil. For the Bible says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, Job 1 verse 6. And Satan also came among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro upon the earth or in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. His motive by being present was for evil. When we come together, our purpose is to worship God. Our motive is good. It is good. But the motive of Satan is evil, always has been. We come together to glorify God. Satan comes among us to destroy that glorification. Satan comes among us to help draw our mind away from why we're here. If You ever thought about the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 when the Bible talks about the Lord's Supper, that we are to discern what we are doing when we observe the Lord's Supper, that our mind is to be focused on the unleavened bread and on the fruit of the vine? The reason he says that is the fact that the devil is there at the same time, and he's trying to get you to shift your attention away from God. He's trying to get you to move your mind as far away from the very purpose of our congregating together. When we sing songs of praise unto God, the devil is here among us trying to get us to shift our mind to other things that we plan to do after the worship service is over. Anything but thinking about the words of those songs. And when someone is up here praying, and Mark, I appreciate your prayer tonight, but when someone is up here leading us in prayer, sometimes our mind is adrift. And we're not really thinking about the words that are being offered in our behalf. And Satan is taking delight in that. Satan comes among the worship service to disrupt and to destroy. He doesn't want to glorify God. We come in a spirit of reverence. But Satan comes in the spirit of irreverence. When we give, Satan is among us. When we understand that we are to give as we've been prospered and that God has blessed us, and we have a mentality that says, hey, I want to give back to God proportionally that which is His, Satan comes among us, he gets into our mind, and he says, you don't have to do that. That's not necessary. You know that you want to buy that new car, and you know that you can't give to God and go buy that new car. You want that new house. God wants you to be happy. So you just go ahead and keep that money and buy that new house. And you forget about giving to the Lord God and to the church. Satan is present, causing us to offer up a vain and sinful worship before God. Do you know, secondly, that Satan tries to disrupt the leadership of the church? He does. He tries to destroy those who step out and lead and do the right thing. Brethren sometimes are tempted to want their own way. Sometimes people are tempted because Satan has a way of causing us to murmur and to reject God. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 13. Satan has a way of leading us to believe that certain things that the Bible teaches against are all right, like women taking leadership roles in the church. But 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8 spells it out for us in verses 11 through 12. And we find in today's world that a lot of churches have taken that particular position, that it is all right. And that's not to downplay women in any way, folks. I'm going to tell you something. A lot of times people have this idea that, well, you're a male chauvinist, and all you're thinking about is the male and not the female. Not true. I'm just bringing you the message of God. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. We have a lot of women preachers today in the religious world. We have a lot of women today who are assuming the authority in the home instead of allowing the husband to be the leader and the role model for the family. And I understand. A lot of women say, well, my husband's just not a leader. He's not a role model. Well, I understand all that also. But you still serve God. The devil is among us for the purpose of shooting down the message of God. And when the Word of God is being taught, whether it's in a Bible class or whether it's in a worship service like this, the devil is twisting your mind. And he's listening to what I'm saying right now, and he's trying to twist my words and reprogram it in your mind. He does. He did it during the days of John the Baptist. And when he preached against sin, and Herod and Herodias clamored for the head of John the Baptist. And when Stephen was preaching in the book of Acts chapter 7, the Bible says that he was heralding the message of God. And Satan put it into the hearts of the men to rush upon him and stone him to death. Because they didn't see the message as one that was plausible as they conjectured in their own mind. Satan tries to distort truth. And that's very evident, isn't it, from that chapter we read a moment ago in the book of Genesis chapter 3. When God gave the law, he told Adam and Eve, you can eat of every tree of the garden, but the one that you cannot eat of is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Satan came along, distorted it, only added one word to that message. It was the word N-O-T. The devil just changed it with one word and changed the whole meaning of the whole thing. And he said, for in the day that you eat thereof, you shall not surely die. Sometimes we can read the Bible and the truth is often distorted. I've seen people do that. I heard about a Bible class teacher one time who was teaching a class of third graders. And anyway, he raised the question. He said, look, he said, I'd like to know if anyone in here can tell me a passage of scripture that deals with baptism. And a little boy raised his hand and he said, yes, he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. And then he asked the question. He says, well, I wonder if there's anyone here this morning who can give me a passage of scripture that deals with reconciliation. And a little girl spoke up and she said, yes, she says, I can do that. And that's found in Ephesians 4 when the Bible teaches that we are to be tolerant of one another. We are to forgive one another if God is going to forgive us. Reconciliation. And then the teacher asks the question. He says, well, can anyone in here give me a passage of scripture that deals with marriage? And it got real quiet. And about that time, a little boy spoke up and he said, I have it. And the teacher said, what is it? And he said, it is forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Well, now sometimes people can misconstrue the scripture. You can read the Bible, but why is it that we don't just read the Bible, as I said this morning, except the Word of God? Now, I know you have to study it. I know you have to learn it. And you have to dissect it, actually, to go through it to make sure that you understand what is being taught. But the devil is always trying to distort everything that preachers of the gospel are trying to teach when they teach the truth. It happens. Did you know that Satan visits every home? He does. Every home. Every time you sit down at the dinner table, did you know that Satan is present? He is. He is. That's why Joshua in Joshua 24 and 15 said, choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and the Lord, or for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. He offers every form of evil entertainment. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 through 11. And people see all of the evil entertainment and they say there's nothing wrong with it. It's okay. If it feels good, do it. The bumper sticker says, and so if it says it, it means it's okay. The devil is present in every disagreement that we have. Ephesians 4, verse 25. But the Bible says that we're to put away lying and speaking evil one of another and speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place unto the devil. And last of all, the devil is present when works are presented to the body of Christ in ways that are good. When we try to motivate one another and get people to be zealous and diligent in the work of Christ, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 that the devil is roaming this earth, seeking whom he may devour. He seeks to discourage us. He wants you to be discouraged tonight. He does. He wants you to leave here discouraged. But I hope you won't. I hope you'll conquer Satan. He wants to undermine your faith. Sometimes things happen in our life, and someone was telling me the other day that their faith was shaken, and they were troubled by what was going on in their life. Listen, we all have troubles, Job 14:1 and 2. Man who's born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. We all have them. Don't let the devil undermine your faith. For James 1 verse 2 through 3 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or trials." In every situation, we must see and do God's will, and having a faith and a purpose that will prevail. Romans 8 and verse 31. For the Bible says, if God is for us, who can be against us? It is a dangerous thing to be ignorant of the devices of Satan. But there are some things that are worthy of following, and these I've shared with you tonight. I hope that God will help each and every one of us this week to be more cognizant of the devil. The Bible says in the book of Matthew 26 and verse 41 that we are to watch and pray. We're to put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians 6 verse 10 through 17, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know what that is? The diabolical schemes of the devil this week. And he'll be after you. I promise you, he will be working on you. Because of this very lesson that I've taught tonight to encourage you, the devil will be